The following presentation is from North Pine Baptist Church. We trust that it will help you learn more about God and His message for...
There's a phrase that people use, and the phrase is, that's eye-catching. Don't know if you've heard that phrase before, that's eye-catching. So perhaps you see a photo, you're on your Facebook page, Mitch's page comes up, and he's got one of his awesome photos, and your eyes just drawn to the details in the photo and the beauty of the photo, and you go, oh man, that's just such an eye-catching photo. Or maybe you're walking along and, there's one of those moments where you see a couple, and they've been married for, 60 years, and they've both got wheelie walkers, and they're hunched over, but they're holding hands, and they're obviously in love after all those years, and they're expressing that love in the open, and you go, oh, wow, that's just so eye-catching. This is the one I always dream of. You go into the op shop, there's this thing that you know is really, really valuable. No one else knows it's valuable, but you know it's valuable. And then you see it straight away, and no one else has seen it. And you go, I'm going to get this for a few dollars, and I'm going to make thousands of dollars out of that. That's eye-catching, isn't it? Eye-catching. The thing that draws our attention in one way or another. We're going to read Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. We didn't have room to put it on the page, so pull out your phones or pull out your Bibles or whatever you need to do that. So Mark chapter 12, and it's verse 41 to 44. It's going to be eye-catching when we have the data stuff going again, isn't it? That's going to be great. In the meantime, God is good and we can deal with this easily. Opening our Bibles, opening our phones. Mark chapter 12, 41 to 44. And this is a situation that Jesus finds eye-catching. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the treasury, temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor woman has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Now, historically and time-wise, the previous Sunday, Jesus has ridden into Jerusalem on the foal of the donkey, and in the coming week, on the Friday, Jesus is going to be crucified. So we're in that time frame. And in that time frame, Jesus goes to the temple a number of times. On this particular occasion, Jesus is in the temple, in the court of the women, and he's watching all the goings on that are going on in the temple. It's called the court of the women because this is as far as the women and the children are allowed to go in terms of going towards the temple. The only people who weren't allowed in the court of the women were the Gentiles. So their court was one court back, and that's as far as they could go. So there's a series of courts, court of the Gentiles, court of the women, and then you get closer and closer until the only person who can go inside the temple itself into the Holy of Holies is the high priest. Now, this is where Jesus is, and so you're in the court. Every Jewish person is allowed to be there. So that's the reason that in that particular court is where they collect the money for the temple and for the workings of the temple. Now, these collection boxes, I would have loved to have found one that was exactly like it, but this is going to have to do. Okay. So we're going to have to imagine, we're going to have to use our imaginations a bit. Let's imagine that Indiana Jones has found it. He's found one of these collection boxes that used to sit in the court of the women. They were designed in such a way that they had a funnel up the top. It was quite a large funnel, okay, and it was made of metal. And then this funnel would be sitting on a box The box would be a bit larger, and then the money would be put into the funnel, go down into a hole that was just big enough for the biggest coin, and then into the box. So it was kind of like a safety feature, big funnel down to a small one so people couldn't take the money out of the box. So you get the idea? That's what it is. Made of metal, certainly the top part was made of metal. Now, we know from historical documents from the time that within the court of the women, there were 13 of these collection boxes in the court of the women. 13. Two of them were used for the temple tax, and we know for sure that the woman who is going giving her money is not at the ones for the temple tax because it's not enough money to pay for the temple tax. So she's not there. But there are other collection points around. There's for free will offerings. There's to help buy wood, all sorts of things. So we don't know exactly which one it is, but she is at one of these collection points, 13 in total. So Jesus is in this area and he's sitting there and he's watching all this goings on in the court of the women. And then he sees or knows or understands that this woman has put some money into the collection pot. Now, I want us to think about where we are. This is why I mentioned what's going on. So Jesus has come in on the donkey and he's going to die on the Friday. So this is Passover week. So at Passover week every year in Jerusalem, it means that the temple is always busy, much, much busier than what it would normally be. So we don't want to imagine an empty court. We want to imagine quite a bustling court, lots of people all around and everything like that. And we want to think about this situation. How is it that Jesus knows that this woman put two small coins into the collection pot? Now, we could say, well, that's because Jesus, while he is a man, he also at times he has a divine understanding of what's going on and everything like that. And that certainly could be the case here, that Jesus just has a divine understanding. But there's actually another reason why he would know, and there's a fair chance that others would have known as well. And it's got to do with the shape of the collection container and the status of people in that era. Let's remember a few things. We want to remember in those days that there's no money coins. There's no dollars, okay? There's no paper money. It's all coins, okay? So coins in those days were of value, different coins. So the smallest coins, it says in the text in the NIV, it were made of copper. They were made of brass. So the two coins that the woman puts in, they're made of brass. They're one of the smallest donations of coins that you can give. There were also coins that were made of silver, and there were coins that were made of gold, and also coins that were made of brass. And so the more value the coin, the more value of the metal itself. So different metals make different sounds when you hit other metals. So if you were a person who in that era, you could go, I can tell what coin that is by the sound it makes hitting this metal funnel at the top. Okay? That would have been quite easy to do at that time. Now, also in those days, it was pretty easy to discern who was wealthy and who was not, usually by their clothing. And so anybody sitting in the temple at that time could look around and go, oh, that person's a wealthy merchant, that's a scribe, that's a Pharisee, that's a labourer, that's a widow. People can just do that because of the era of the time. All right, put all those things together and let's come back to the container and the offering. This one's not made of metal. And I really, really hoped I could get a metal one, but I couldn't. So I'm going to just replace that. And then I'm going to pull this one. I'm going to pull this one out. This is as close as I could get. So I want you to imagine. I want you to imagine that that's a funnel. Okay? So our brother kindly already has been. Okay, there we go, brother. We'll have that for later. Thank you. So there's this container that's metal. And here comes a wealthy person. And I want you to imagine what this would have been like, okay? Because everyone knows this is a wealthy person, and he's in the temple, and he's walking towards the container. And it's my sense, and I think this is a fairly good sense, that people would actually stop or quieten down a little bit. How much is he going to put in? Because when he puts in his money, it sounds like this. You can hear it. And remember, it's a funnel. That worked much better than I thought it was going to. That's really good. It's a funnel. So it would actually amplify the sound, which says a whole lot about why. What were the Pharisees doing and the temple people doing that they wanted to make it so obvious what people were giving? That's a whole other sermon in itself, isn't it? Anyway, so we trumpet out the sound. And you can imagine all these people, man, that guy just gave so much money. Did you hear it? That had to be, 20 coins. And I'm pretty sure they were the denarius. That's 20 coins. And then there's this widow. And everyone knows she's a widow because she's dressed. And she walks over. And she gives. And I'm thinking that most people would go, I don't need to worry about listening for this. It's not going to be much. And she comes up and she's got her 2 coins. And then she walks away. It's really easy to know in those days who was giving what. And if anyone cared to listen, they will know that this widow has put in 2 small coins. But here's the thing, most people wouldn't care to listen. But Jesus is not like most people, is he? And that's why for Jesus, the offering of the widow is so eye-catching, but technically it's actually ear-catching, isn't it? The offering is ear-catching, eye-catching to Jesus. And then Jesus uses what she has done as a lesson on discipleship. The offering of 2 coins. Now the Greek text tells us that the offering was 2 lepta, which equals a quadrans. That's a direct translation of the Greek. Okay, so a lepta is a Jewish coin. It's the local currency in the Jewish area, only used in Judea. So Mark's writing his gospel. He's like, I need to help people understand what's going on here. For everyone else who's not Jewish, 2 lepta equals 1 quadrans. And a quadrans is a Roman coin. So everyone in the whole of the Roman Empire knows what a quadrans is. So they're looking at this story and they're going, okay, I know that this 2 lepta equals 1 quadrans. And we're all sitting here, well, that's fantastic, but what does it mean for us in dollars and cents? Well, we can actually work these things out and get a fairly clear understanding of what's going on in this time. So there's a coin that's called a denarius. It's made of silver, and right across the Roman Empire, 1 denarius was equal to 1 day's worth of pay at the minimum wage. So they actually had a minimum wage system in the Roman Empire. Minimum wage, 1 denarius for 1 day's work. Now we know that 40 quadrans, it takes 40 quadrans to make 1 denarius. And then it would mean that it would take 80 lepta to make 1 denarius. So the offering of the woman is 1/40th of a day's pay at minimum wage. So I did the math. It's $4.33. Is $4.33 an eye-catching number? Were people to put that amount into the offering, it would buy us a half a ream of paper or the milk that we use for one morning tea, a few minutes of electricity, or 0.00002% of the annual budget of the salaries of the staff. Would we generally call $4.33 an eye-catching number? Would we say that $4.33 is a significant contribution to the life and ministry of the church? Well, it all depends, doesn't it? It all depends on whether the offering of $4.33 is an eye-catching number for Jesus. Because it's not about what we think the number is, it's about what Jesus thinks the number is. So what makes this widow's 2 lepta, $4.33, what makes it eye-catching? We're reading again, Mark chapter 12, verse 43. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor woman has put more into the treasury than all the others." More into the treasury. And Jesus isn't saying she's put more than that person and more than that scribe and more than that couple and that more than that wealthy merchant. He's saying that the combined giving of all of those people on this day, that she has put in more than all. And you can imagine the disciples sitting there going, how can it be possible that $4.33 is more than all the giving that has come into the temple on that day? And Jesus spells it out in verse 44. He says, they all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. She has given everything. She has given her all. The text actually reads, she gave her whole life. And that's why $4.33 is the eye-catching number for Jesus. It goes way deeper than money. This goes down to the heart of the Christian gospel. It goes down to how we have life and have life to the full. It talks to us about our priorities. It speaks to us about what's so important in life. Because we can only give eye-catching numbers for Jesus when we are truly in relationship with Jesus and have that significance of understanding and that hope of understanding and that joy of understanding that he is our all and he will provide for our all, and even as I give my all, that he will still be there always for me, no matter what. A bit earlier in the same chapter of Mark, Mark chapter 12, Mark records a conversation between a teacher of the law and Jesus. I'm reading Mark 12, 28 to 31. One of the teachers of the law came and heard him debate them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commands, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is like this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandments than these." And when Jesus answers this question, the teacher of the law, he even says, "You've given a great answer." And the people who were in the temple that day in the court, they would also have agreed that, yes, this is the right answer. That we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. And they could tell you in the Old Testament which book that verse came from, which chapter and which verse. Everyone knows this. But it's the widow. It's the actions of the widow who demonstrate she doesn't just know it, she's living it. Two lepta, $4.33 is eye-catching because this is discipleship in action. It's not the size of the offering, but the heart behind the offering. A heart that is seeking to be a disciple of a Savior who also gave his all. Now, she doesn't know this. This widow doesn't know this because Jesus still needs to go to the cross and he needs to rise from the dead. But this same Jesus who is sitting in the temple court that day, this same Jesus, in a couple of days' time, he's going to go to the cross. And he's going to give his life. He's going to love the Lord, his God, with all of his heart and soul and mind and strength and body and life and blood. And he will do that obediently. He's going to love his neighbor as himself. He's going to love his enemies. He's going to love those who are sinners. He's going to love the rebellious by giving his life. Jesus will go from the temple and in less than a week from now, he will go to Golgotha and he will lay down his life. And even though the widow doesn't know this once for all sacrifice is going to be done for her, she embodies that. She embodies that once for all sacrifice. She embodies the trust. She embodies giving all for her Lord. She embodies discipleship. And that's what catches Jesus' eye. It's the discipleship action that catches Jesus' eye. As we consider these words, let's work out what they mean for us and what they don't mean. Firstly, what they don't mean is this. If you've been giving more than $4.33, this doesn't mean you just bring your offering down to $4.33. It's not what's going on. Unless putting $4.33 in the offering is the reflection of your all. For some of us, $4.33 is still an eye-catching number. For some of us, it's $20. For others, it might be $1,000. It's not the amount that catches the eye of Jesus. It's the heart. And also, when we look at these verses, I don't want us to come to the conclusion that what they're saying is we have to give all of our things, all of our stuff. There was a time in the scriptures, an occasion where Jesus met a rich man. And in the conversation, this rich man wanted to know what he needed to do to get eternal life. And in that case, for that person, Jesus says in Matthew 19, verse 21, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. In this case, Jesus isn't putting down a rule for everyone. Jesus is putting down for that particular individual, what he needs to do, what his heart needs to do. The application isn't here for me to catch the eye of Jesus. I need to be able to give everything. In the early church, there was a guy called Barnabas. He sold his field. He gave everything that came from that field. He brought it to the apostles' feet, and he gave it all. Another couple, Ananias and Sapphira, saw this and perhaps saw how everyone was encouraging about Barnabas and speaking Barnabas up. So they sold a field, but they didn't bring all the money. They just gave part of the money. And they died. They didn't die because they didn't give it all. They died because they lied. Peter says specifically in Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept some of the money for yourself you received from your land? And hear this, didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? So it's not setting up this rule that we sell stuff and we've got to give everything. to the church, everything to Jesus. It's not saying that either. This two lepta, this $4.33 is not eye-catching because it's everything she has. It's eye-catching because of the heart that sits behind it. It's a demonstration that this woman is in such a trust relationship with God that she is trusting Jesus with her all. At this moment, she's given her next meal, she's given her next holiday, she's given her next shopping spree, she's given her next family gathering, she's given her next rent payment. But she does that knowing that her God will be the God that will provide the next meal and the next holiday and the next shopping spree and the next family gathering and the next rent payment. She has this relationship with God, with her Savior, God, at that time, who she understands He will look after her. That she has a relationship of trust that He will provide. How many of us would love to have that sort of relationship? Where you're able to give money far beyond what you think or have been able to. Not because of show. Not because it's you know, you're so wealthy that it's a small amount. But you're able to give it because as you bring it, you go, I know that even as I give my all, that my Father will give me so much more. That He will provide for me, He will care for me, that He loves me, that I will not fall short, that He will never let me go. That's the giving. That's the discipleship that is catching Jesus' eye, because it's the relationship that stands behind it. She has given more than her all, than everyone else. It's because she is showing that all of these other people, they just don't get it. They just don't get what it means to be in a relationship with God like that. To have that trust. She has everything. To trust that as we are prompted to give, we do so in the sure and certain hope and understanding that God has already provided. She literally has nothing. Yet on that day, she's the richest person in that temple. And she also understands that it matters. Because it would be very easy for the widow to look at the coins in her hand before she comes to the temple, and as she's walking through the court of the Gentiles and into the court of the women, and she's walking to the offering, to the collection spot, to look at the two coins in her hand and say, what can these even do? And to be honest, at the end of the day, when they take all the money out and they put it in a pile, and those two lepta, imagine if they had just accidentally fallen quietly on the floor. Would anyone have noticed if they were there or not? It's like the coins that we have in our couch when we move. We find all these coins. We didn't even know that they were there. It didn't matter. Would anyone have noticed? And so it's very easy. It would have been very easy for the widow to go, my small bit doesn't matter. It won't be missed. And in one sense, she's right. It won't be missed. But in another sense, she understands that it might not be missed by the temple treasury and it might not be missed in the ledger. But for Jesus, He makes sure that no one misses it. Those two small coins written in the ledger that day, we don't even know if they got there or not. We assume they have. They were pretty good at getting the money together and keeping an account. But this story ends up in the book of life. So that every person reading the scriptures will read this story and go, it might have been missed on that day, but Jesus has made sure it's not going to be missed now. Because there's no such thing as an insignificant offering. Sometimes we can fall into the trap of thinking we can't make a difference. I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too poor, I'm too sick, I have too many children to care for, I'm a widow, I'm too busy, I'm too weak, my job is impossible for me to do, you're asking too much, what can one person do? Well, what one person can do is be an example in the scriptures to generations after generations of believers of what discipleship looks like. One person can catch the eye of Jesus and get him so excited that he gathers his disciples around and he says, I want you to have seen this and understand what's going on here. Have a close look at what the widow is doing because this is discipleship in action. This is discipleship which catches the eyes of Jesus. This is discipleship that we should be praying for. And this is the discipleship that we should be willing to sit back and look at our lives and ask ourselves, is my discipleship eye-catching to Jesus? Let's pray. Father God, as we think about your word, as we seek to understand your scriptures to us, as we get an understanding of what these verses are about and what you were doing through that widow and how you worked in her life and how she responding to what God is doing in her life. Lord, help us to take what we have heard today, reflect on it, pray through it, think about it. Think about our discipleship and how our discipleship, where it comes from, and the foundation that we have as we stand in you. It is indeed all about you, Jesus. Living our life out of being in relationship with you. Seeking to serve out of relationship with you. Having that trust that you will continue to provide in our relationship with you. It's not about the money. It's about the heart. So, Lord Jesus, help us to look at what our heart does, what our hands do with our finances. Think about what it's saying about our heart and about our discipleship and what drives us as we seek to serve you. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, Amen. When Jesus saw this widow, he gathered his disciples. He said, have a look at this. And I'm sure in Jesus' heart there was this real sense of praise. I'm just so thankful for what God is doing in the lives of his people. I'm so thankful for what God is doing in our life. And that comes out as praise. And so that's what we're going to do now. We're going to praise the Lord. See, lift up his name as we close our service this morning. Afterwards, please come and join us for morning tea as we make our way out from the service.
Thanks for joining us for this presentation from North Pine Baptist Church. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.